Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. Happy Monday. We hope you're having a great Monday so far. We recently sat down with Joe Fowler and Joe Sines, who are the two filmmakers behind our latest Mormon message entitled Wrong Roads. We wanted to share our interview with them on the Mormon Channel here today. Ready? Here we go. Gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. Tell us about this latest Mormon message that you've done and maybe some of the background behind it, the story behind it.
This was an idea that I came up with before actually was a Mormon message. And actually where it came from was a number of years before that. My wife and I came to a crossroad in my career and our life together. And we had been very prayerful about what we should do. And we both felt very strongly that we should go one direction. And we went that direction. We hit a dead end. And it was really disappointing because we felt that we were following, you know, some promptings.
Didn't you guys move or get ready to move like three times?
Yeah.
Like packed up your house?
Yeah. So it wasn't just once that we felt this wrong road. We felt the direction one time, felt very strongly we even need to get ready to go. And so we packed our house, which was really difficult to do, not knowing where to go. This is really personal all of a sudden. So then we made, thanks, Joe. We made.
This is really interesting though, don't
no,
you think?
No, it's the truth. So, but nothing happened. And after a couple of months, we were like, might as well take the dishes out of the box. So a few months after that, we had the same feeling. And at that point, I said, no, this is just me misinterpreting. There's no way. This is really any kind of direction. But the feelings were so strong, both my wife and I, individually and together, that we moved forward following those promptings and again hit that dead end. Well, when it happened the third time, we were both really kind of frustrated. And it got to a point where I was pretty upset about the situation. I really had doubts that I knew what Heavenly Father was trying to tell me to do in my life. And I thought I knew. I thought I knew what the Spirit felt like. I thought I knew. Yeah. But I was wrong three times. As I was struggling with this, my brother knew that I was having a hard time. And he sent me a story from the New Era that Matthew Holland, who is now president of Utah Valley University and Elder Jeffrey Holland's son, that Matthew Holland wrote, telling a story about when he and his dad took a trip to the Grand Canyon when Matthew was a young boy. And on the way back, they came to a real crossroad. And they prayed and asked which way to go. They felt they needed to go one way, so they went that way, and they hit a dead end. And so they flipped around, came back, went down the other path, and eventually, finally, found their way to home. And on the way back, after they'd went down the correct path, Matthew asked his dad, why would Heavenly Father tell us to go down the wrong road? And that resonated with me at that time because that's what happened to me. And Elder Holland told his son that as far as he could tell, the best way for the Lord to tell them which way to go with a surety is to let them go down the wrong road for a little bit and see that it's definitely not the way to go. And then they could confidently go down the right road because they've already eliminated that possibility. I realized at that point that's what happened in my life, that the Lord was trying to tell me three times, Joe, that's not for you. This is for you. And now that I've been further in my career and my wife and I have had several great experiences, we both realize that that's exactly what happened. So I wanted to tell this story, and the opportunity to tell as a Mormon message I thought was great. The interesting thing is when I pitched this idea to anyone, really, when I pitched it to, you know, our product manager, when I pitched it to the brethren who approved these Mormon messages, every single one of them said, I've had those experiences myself. But they've all also said, there's not a lot of conference talks or a lot of information out there about this that talks about this. We talk about personal revelation, but not about this specific getting revelation that sends you down the wrong path, not a sinful path. And Elder right. Holland actually talked about that when we interviewed him for this project. He said, and it's not in the video, but he said, this is not an excuse to sin, but there are times where the Lord might try to tell you that's not the way you should go by letting you go down there and discovering that.
How interesting. So on a personal note, did you ever end up moving?
No.
Or did you stayed?
No, packed up three times, unpacked three times.
But it was just to confirm that what you were doing in your current house and situation was right.
Right. As I move forward in my life and my career, I might feel tempted to want to explore that avenue again. Mm-hmm. But I'm reminded that that wasn't the path for me, and I won't go down that road again. And I'm grateful for that, very much so.
So, Joel Fowler, what was your role in this Mormon message? What was your part?
So, other than concepting, I was the producer, and director.
So, Joe Sines, tell us what your role was and your maybe even your experience with this.
I helped conceptualize from the beginning kind of how we would do it, how it would get done. Usually we just use conference talks. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of rare to get a personal interview with an apostle in their office talking about something that they haven't really talked about. It was his son that talked about it.
Right.
You know, so
we had nothing else to reference other than an article. And so it was kind of a necessity to be able to interview Elder Holland, which was still really cool to be able to do that.
Yeah.
What a wonderful opportunity.
What was great is that they got permission. He liked the idea. And so we got permission to film Elder Holland in his office. But I didn't want it to look like it was in his office. I wanted anybody to feel like they're sitting down with Elder Holland anywhere, but they're not thinking about his office. They're not thinking about the items in his office, because that's intriguing sometimes. You want to like know what they have in there and what pictures of
where'd that painting come from.
But you're not thinking about any of that besides what he's talking about.
We had to talk for a while how we wanted that to look. We kind of referenced other videos, other interviews, and we discussed some ideas ourselves of what we want to do. And then Joe and his crew basically executed something pretty awesome, because it was shot in his office.
Well, and it's not like you could go in his office really beforehand.
Nope, we had 1 hour.
Yeah.
Exactly. We had 1 hour because he was at a meeting, but we needed it to look like he was out of his office, which takes way more time. Actually, it was to the minute.
Yeah.
We fixed the last little thing and he sat down. And
wow.
But it was cool. It was awesome.
This whole project was full of little miracles that there's just no way. And I don't know if I told you this story, Lisa, so this will be new for you too. So the pickup truck that's in it is actually Elder Holland's dad's truck. The truck that he and his son drove to the Grand Canyon, that's the actual truck that's in it.
That they got lost in.
That they got lost
in.
And, you know, when we were getting ready for production, when we were interviewing Elder Holland and telling us the story, when the interview was all done, I asked him some logistical things, you know, like, what were you guys wearing? What kind of stuff did you do? And the whole picnic, that was something they actually did. So we wanted to make sure we include that. I don't know if you could tell that the little boy was eating a sandwich in the car. That was something they did, that he was trying to make food while they were driving. And so we tried to put little things like that in there. And I had him describe the truck. And he said it was a GMC, like early 70s, you know, pickup truck. Like, yeah, brown pickup truck. I'm like, well, I don't know if we're going to find something exactly like that. But if I can find anything like 70s era old pickup truck, I think it'll work. People will be fooled. Because the concept behind this was we wanted this to look like these were home movies that we got from the Holland family. So as close as we could get it. I used every resource we had at the church to try to find a truck down in St. George where we filmed it. Couldn't find anything. Eventually, we got desperate and we sent an email out to about 100 bishops down in the St. George area.
Wow.
And I got several replies and pictures of different trucks and people totally generous and willing to let us use their vehicles. It was awesome. And a lot of them looked really cool. And I'm like, oh, any one of these would work. But I wanted to wait until we got down there to kind of look at them firsthand, make sure they ran. 2 days before we left, I got one more email saying, hey, I have your truck. And I called him back and I said, well, what is it? And he's like, no, I have the truck. I have Elder Holland's father's truck. It was Elder Holland's cousin who called me, and when Elder Holland's father passed away, he bought the truck from the family and had
40
it ever
years
since.
Ago. Yeah.
40 years ago. He's had it ever since.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So, and they were totally thrilled to let us use it. They thought it was a little miracle, too, and that's the truck. So,
well, they kept it running this whole time. It was all original.
Yeah.
It was super clean. Just looked like an antique.
Great.
So this is really authentic. How wonderful.
And we want it to look like it was shot on old 8mm kind of reel-to-reel film, as if, like I said, we grabbed it from them.
We were looking into buying 8mm, the Bolex or the, and getting film for it and
processing, digitizing, all that stuff that goes included with that.
Because we really wanted it to look authentic. And then it came up because we shot Elder Holland's interview on a Sony F3. So because we wanted it to look really good. And so we were thinking, oh, and then it'd be really cool with the film. But then I don't know how it came up, but
another a cinematographer we work with said,
yeah,
there's an app on an iPhone that looks just like 8mm. And at first I'm like, yeah. And then we looked at it and it looked really cool. And there was borderline it looking kind of cheesy, but it looked really good. And the iPhones now, they have really nice lenses. They actually are pretty decent little video cameras. But what we had to do is we had to shoot it with a different app, because the camera app that's in there doesn't give you a lot of control. So we had to get a different app that allowed us to control the aperture, the focus, all those things, so that we made sure it was exactly what we wanted, exactly perfect. Then we took the footage, because the iPhone's not very big, so you can only shoot so much at a time, transfer it to a hard drive on the computer. And
in the desert, in an RV.
In an RV. And then when I got back to the office, then I took that footage, chunks at a time, put it back into my iPhone, process it through that 8mm app, then took it from the iPhone back to the computer to edit. So it passed back and forth several times. But the end result, we were really excited. It looked really cool.
It looks great, yeah.
Well, we didn't tell anybody that we were going to do that. Only a couple people knew. But because in our world, it's kind of
frowned upon?
It's kind of offensive. You know, it's like, how dare you film something about Elder Holland on a cell phone?
Right.
It was a leap for us to do that because it is risky. I was scared. I was trying to think up of backups. I even was coming up with this contraption to like put the phone on the GoPro so I could film it twice at the same time, so that just in case we wanted to use the different kind of footage, it wasn't. Anyway, but once we got there, things were so rushed that I didn't have time to set that up, and we was just on the iPhone.
You're also nervous because you were taped your precious iPhone to the outside of a truck, and we were driving
on a gravel,
the desert.
on a bumpy gravel road.
There's yeah, one, there's a, one shot where the father and son drove off by themselves, and we just waved to them and said, go down there a couple miles and turn around and hope his phone doesn't fall off.
Yeah, I was all bouncing around like crazy. But yeah, it was pretty nerve-wracking, but it's really, honestly, what this is about is the story, and it's not about the camera that you filmed it on. It's about delivering that message to the audience, and they don't care. You know, if the story is there, they like it, and they love the story, then no one ever questions, I wonder what they filmed this on, otherwise I'm not going to watch it. You know,
right.
It's all about that story. And so, anyway, on our side, we kind of have to break those pride barriers down of just doesn't matter what we do it on, just as long as it's the best tool for what we need. Anyway, so it turned out to work great for that.
And it turned out beautifully. I would never have guessed that you filmed it on an iPhone. Mm-hmm. The delivery is fabulous.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah, good work.
That was our goal. Yeah. But when then we found out like other films have used an iPhone to film on and set for
and they've
that,
used that,
for that
app
eight,
and
yeah,
they've
that
mixed
app.
They've mixed that 8mm, real 8mm footage with this app, and people can't tell the difference. And that gave us confidence to, okay, I think this might really work. And it was a risk, but I don't know.
But it works. You took the risk, and it works because you do feel like you're watching a home video of Elder Holland. So it's great.
Cool. The fact that we had Elder Holland's truck, that's not as important. That we shot on an iPhone, that's not really that's important. Those are kind of cool things, and they were they helped us to be able to tell the story. But for me, because it was so personal, and I know that everyone has, if they haven't, they will have this experience, I think this message is totally necessary. There's not a lot else out there that talks about this specific principle of personal revelation. And people need to know. I struggled, and it was such a comfort to know that. And being in the room with Elder Holland when he talked about these things and when he bore that testimony that I put in at the end, it was really powerful. And he was very frank about it. He was like, this is what you do. You keep going. You do it 100 times. You do it 1,000 times. If you feel right about something, keep going. If it's 3 times you have to pack your house up, then you do it 3 times.
Yeah.
Again, not to get personal, but the feelings were so strong, they shook me awake out of my bed when I tried to ignore them. And it's been a great help in my life and in my career right now. I'm very grateful for that experience, as difficult as it was.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing these stories with us. This is an exciting Mormon message. I'm excited for everyone to see it. Thanks for being with us here. Appreciate
you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank
fun.
You. What a story. Actually, they had lots of stories with this one, so this was a really fun Mormon message to interview them about. We're going to close today with a clip from Elder Holland that is similar to what Joe Fowler was just talking about. And this is from a talk Elder Holland gave in General Conference, October 1999, entitled, An High Priest of Good Things to Come. We want to play that for you now in his own words.
Don't give up, boy. Don't you quit. You keep walking. You keep trying. There is help and happiness ahead. a lot of it, 30 years of it now and still counting. You keep your chin up. It will be all right in the end. Trust God and believe in good things to come.
Elder Holland's last line in that clip we just played for you is a great way to end today. Trust God and believe in good things to come. That's the message we want to leave you with today. Thank you for joining us. And don't forget to check out this latest Mormon message called Wrong Roads. And send us any comments, suggestions, or feedback that you have for us at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org. Or you can post on our Facebook wall as well. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the song of the day we'd like to leave you with today is entitled One Day at a Time, and it's featuring Maddie Wilson. Thanks again for joining us. Have a wonderful day.
You've been growing up so fast. All the years were flying past, never a star you're wishing on. Trying to do everything is sometimes harder than it seems. Look at all that you're missing. There's things to learn.
One day at a time.